I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays from 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. I keep thinking, you know, maybe there will be more at some point. It's rather naive at this particular junction in history. I'll talk about that in a second. I've gotten to where I've got some COVID news stuff here, things that I just think need to be spoken out loud. I mean, they need to be said. I've lost all hope that a lot of things are actually absorbed by human beings anymore. Facts. The COVID is like the rest of them. I've just had over the past week or so, I've had many conversations with different people on either side of the COVID issue. This is the existential threat to our way of life, and anybody who doesn't wear a mask is essentially the same thing as somebody who should be found guilty of assault. I mean, people have just gone nuts on this thing, or the people who say, well, this is all just a hoax. And I mean, it's just nobody wants to actually hear anything, and I am on this pursuit for the truth. And I've got two or three friends that I can have a conversation with about this stuff where we ask the question, really, how serious is this? I mean, we're really trying to get to the bottom of this. I don't want COVID. I don't believe it's a hoax so that I think, you know, nobody ever has any consequences from this. But at the same time, the reaction to this is absolutely bizarre. And just nobody is really interested in, if you've got in your mind already that this is either a hoax or that it is this huge, scary problem and it's all Trump's fault that people are dying. I mean, I talked to somebody the other day who said that Trump should be more like Andrew Cuomo in New York, that he's kind of the gold standard in controlling coronavirus. And see, I'm not somebody who calls somebody an idiot or says anything. I said, well, you know, I think New York's had like 32,000 deaths. And they said, I know. Well, they were a little late to respond, but once they did, and I said, well, I mean, you know, is that not considered somewhat of a lack of leadership? I mean, just the fact that the guy in the country that has the greatest number of deaths and sent senior citizens into nursing homes when they tested, matter of fact, required nursing homes to take in COVID patients, which killed a lot of people in these nursing homes, for him to be the gold standard of how to run the response to COVID is kind of telling. It really is kind of appropriate in this world we live in where everything is just completely on its head, but very few people are actually interested in the truth of this stuff or really parsing through it objectively. But I've got a few things on that today, and then I'm going to get into something else prompted by a movie that I watched the other day, really as much to get off the topic of COVID as much as anything else. I find it incredibly hard to even talk about at this point. So we're going to change topics. But, you know, so a couple of the stories that came up, and then one really, really, really misleading news story. I'm going to play a clip for you in just a second, and I will get your impressions of what you feel like the news media was trying to convey with this, and then we'll show you what the facts behind the news story are. There was the story this weekend in Florida where, of course, they're talking about this is blazing through the society. It's the big spike, the big surge in cases, all this other stuff where they came out and found out that somebody who died of a motorcycle accident was listed as a COVID death. And I believe see if I actually have the clip here. I'm not sure if this was actually clipped on here or on this particular story I'm referencing or not, but they had I don't see it on here. They had one of the health health people, they said they kind of debated it. They, I think he used the term argued. So your health authorities in Florida were actually arguing, well, it should, so do we consider this a COVID death? The guy died of a motorcycle accident. He just happened to test positive while he was in the hospital, dying of a motorcycle accident. And he ends up being a COVID death. And, you know, when you bring this up with somebody who is really hysterical about the whole COVID outbreak, and my opinion, well, I'll get to it in a second. Look, this is just one of those things that life throws at you on the planet Earth. They're just things you gotta get through. But when you bring up something like this motorcycle accident, all you hear is, well, yeah, but that's just an isolated incident. Now, then you can say, well, what about the Illinois health director who said that you could be in hospice on your last legs, on your last days, and if you die from whatever put you in hospice in the first place, if you test positive, you're a COVID death. I mean, it's across the country, but nobody wants to hear those things. Nobody wants to hear. If they've already decided that this is such a serious thing that everybody needs masks and we need shutdowns and all of these things, none of these things actually matter to them. I did find this kind of funny. I can't show you the picture, obviously, on a radio show, but this was just something somebody sent out. There was a box of masks put out for people as they were entering a building, and somebody just happened to notice on the box a big warning label on this box of masks that says, warning, this will provide absolutely no... this does not protect... that does not provide any protection against coronavirus, other viruses, or contaminants. This is this disclaimer on the box. Now, whether that's just legal liability run amok that the mask manufacturers don't want to, you know, want to make sure that they're covering all of their bases, you know, secretly they say it does help, but we just can't say that. I mean, the mask debate itself has just gone completely insane. There is so much evidence. I've been trying to find the science behind masks, the objective science. And I read a story yesterday of a guy who's compiled, I think, 19 different studies on mask wearing when it comes to viral infections, and there was no statistical difference in spreading the or protecting people from the spread of a virus because the viruses are so small. Now, to me, intellectually, it seems like, well, yeah, I mean, I think a mask would help somewhat. But the science does not bear that out in any way, shape, or form, particularly when you get down to these cloth masks and bandanas that people are wearing. Yet, here we are. I was reading a story right before I came on air. A Kentucky couple has had ankle monitors put on. Woman tested positive. She was going to visit some of her family up in, I believe it was Michigan. And so she wanted to get tested for coronavirus before she went up there to see her elderly parents. She tested positive. After she tested positive, the Kentucky Department of Health wanted her to sign a pledge to self-quarantine. And she said she was fine with self-quarantining, but she didn't like there was some language in the thing that she needed to sign that said essentially she needed to call the State Department of Health anytime she wanted to leave her house. And she said, I'm not signing that. If I've got coronavirus, I'll go home and self-quarantine, whatever. So they left. And a couple of days later, someone from the Department of Health, along with, I believe the husband recounted, five different police cars or cars from different authorities. But the police came in and essentially put ankle monitors on them that sound an alarm if they go anywhere more than 200 feet outside of their house. And I believe that these were put on the woman who tested positive, her husband, and maybe one child as well. And, you know, so I got to tell you, it's very difficult these days between the ridiculousness of defund the police. And then when you see things like that, it's really hard to understand where exactly I need to fall on this policing issue. Because, boy, do you want to see a shameful thing that the police are involved in right now? It is their enforcement on businesses and on individuals when it comes from coronavirus. Talk about over-policing. Yeah, I want to play this clip. This was kind of one of the big stories of the weekend when it came to coronavirus. And I want you to listen to this. This is about the infants who have tested positive for coronavirus. This is obviously a terrifying headline, you know, because a lot of people have been rightfully pointing out, hey, this doesn't really look like it's really affecting kids that much. And it hasn't. It has not been deadly to children. By and large, there's some tragic stories in every single thing out there. I mean, every disease finds some random victims that have end up with a tragic end. But by and large, children and the younger adults have been not nearly as affected as older people in this particular thing. But so now they trot out this shocking headline, this shocking news story about some infants in Texas that have tested positive. And here's how they phrased it.
85 infants have tested positive for coronavirus in Nueces County, which includes Corpus Christi. The public health director made that announcement this week and urged residents to wear masks and practice social distancing.
These babies have not even had their first birthday yet. Please help us to stop the spread of this disease.
No other details were provided on the condition of those infants, but Corpus Christi currently has 82 deaths linked to the virus.
All right, so what does it sound like to you? It certainly sounds to me like they've had an outbreak, like a to my mind, it sounds like, oh, look, you know, maybe these were kids in some kind of a daycare setting, something. They've had an outbreak. 85 infants under the age of one have tested positive. This has to be some kind of a group thing, or they've got a really virulent outbreak going on in this part of Texas. But when you actually go to the stories, a Nueces County health official announced that 85 infants have tested positive for the coronavirus in that county as of Friday. The number is cumulative of all babies under one who have tested positive since the county began testing in mid-March. That's not how that news story sounds. That is not what the headlines, and we know that Americans, by and large, read headlines, not so much read stories underneath the headlines. So that is just a pure propaganda terror headline. And for the health authority that just came out just then to say, we've got 85 positive tests for coronavirus of these children, without saying, hey, over the last 3 months, we have found, I mean, heck, since mid-March, we're actually talking about, what? Yeah, 3 months. She didn't come out and say, this is pretty rare, we've got 85 kids. They also throw the number in there, 82 deaths that they've had in that county. Again, we don't know if those are people who died of COVID or died of something else but had COVID. I mean, the numbers in this thing are just insane. I was watching my nature show again this weekend. I'm kind of making a big deal about this because I find it kind of funny that I now have gotten so fed up with the news that what I find refreshing is to watch this children's show at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. I make sure that I'm in front of the television at 9 o'clock to watch this children's show. Now, it's not cartoony. It's not, but it's, you know, it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. It's called Earth Odyssey, and they just go around showing different animal habitats. I find that so much more interesting than really anything that's going on in the news as far as learning something new. Now, if I want to be pandered to or manipulated, then I can tune into the news. To just look at some interesting animal behaviors and get some great photography of animals, some of which I've never even seen before, that's where I go. But what struck me was, you know, human beings are animals. And you see these things all the time if you watch nature shows, nature documentaries, you know, something like maybe in Africa, gazelles, for example. And I'm not being accurate on any species, any particular story, but you'll know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of migration with large herds of animals. Let's just use a gazelle for an example. And invariably in a lot of these countries around the world, during the migrating period, they run into a situation where they need to cross a river. You know, the winter's coming, or they've eaten all the grass on one side of the river, and they've got to get to the other side of the river. They've got to get to a safe space where they do annual mating or whatever it is. But they look at that river, they get to it, and they go, okay, well, we got to go across this river. The problem is there's a bunch of crocodiles in the river. Now, what humans think, what we've become as a species is this idea that, well, we just can't cross the river because we can't accept any losses. These animals, and this is just one example of a ton of different things. Fish do this a lot. Little turtles. You've seen the turtle hatching on the beach. Well, when they're making that move from the egg territory down the beach to hit the water to become sea turtles. There's a ton of danger there, but they do it because they have to do it. And you watch these gazelles as they're moving, and they get to this crocodile or, yeah, it's usually crocodiles, crocodile-infested river. They just do it. Now, they know they're going to lose some gazelles, right? That's just the tragedy of it for them. You don't want to be that gazelle. I'm not exactly sure how well they think. I wonder if there's a lot of strategy. I'm going to let Fred go first. Statistics are that, you know, the first 100 gazelle into the water seem to, you know, can they parse through these statistics? And, you know, I'll be right with y'all. Go ahead. Get started without me. You know, I mean, if there's got to be some scheming when it comes to the gazelles to increase their chances. But invariably, they have to move from one place to another. And that's like our economy. We have to do things as human beings. We have to interact. We have to socialize. We have to go to work to earn money. We have to go on with our lives. And for some reason, the gazelles are smarter than we are because they understand some losses will be taken. And it's tragic. I'm sure there's children gazelles and maybe brother, sister gazelles that have some, you know, they don't want to see anything happen to one of theirs, but they understand that they have to get to the other side of the river to survive as a species. And it seems like human beings now refuse to accept any risk to do the things that let us survive as a species. Does that make any sense? I'm struck by the fact that nature, these and a lot of these animals, as you watch these nature shows, you find out their brain is the size of a walnut, largely acting on instinct, other self-interest type things. But still, we're overthinking this stuff, and this is my stance on the whole thing. And when I get into a conversation with anybody, I say, well, you know, this is just a new risk to us, a new risk, just like if you want a motorcycle, get a motorcycle. You know you're taking a risk, though. There's risk in everything, and we are trying to mitigate our way. We're trying to legislate. We're trying to get ourselves this sterile, safe environment where we conquer all death and all tragedy at all times. It will never, ever, ever work. And yet humans, in this elusive search for complete and absolute safety for everybody, continue to make some of the dumbest choices in the world. I'm with the gazelles. It's just time to go across the river and accept our losses, even if I'm one of them. Even if I'm one of them, I'd rather live free and live a life accepting the risks than allowing a bunch of politicians and bureaucrats to try to mitigate them all for us. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
So here's my nature story from what I learned this weekend from my little nature show. This just shows you really how desperate I am pretty much to avoid some of the mainstream news these days. It's difficult to cover it day in and day out. Has anybody seen a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell yet? Anybody? Mike Madison at WYAB.com. I'm just asking. I'm going to ask every single day until we see a after arrest picture of Ghislaine Maxwell. Anyway. Well, it's fascinating. I just find this nature stuff fascinating, and I learn things. There's something called the tree nymph. I believe this was in the Andes, South America. So this caterpillar, kind of a, looks like a pretty big caterpillar, lives in trees there. It eats these leaves that are toxic, but the caterpillar knows how much is an overdose of that toxin, and it eats just enough of these poisonous leaves to where it does not kill the caterpillar, yet it is able to reserve those poisons and keep predators away. I mean, just ingenious stuff. Amazing adaptation to surroundings in the natural world. So it's able to nourish itself without killing itself, but making it using these poisonous leaves actually as a deterrent to predators. And then this thing goes through its metamorphosis, as a caterpillar does, as it emerges into a butterfly. So it hangs upside down from a branch and goes into this chrysalis stage. Its skin just disappears off of this thing, and there's this what looks like just a gelatinous blob sitting there. And the person narrating said, essentially, this is just kind of a liquefied group of cells. And how you take what is an insect, a functioning, moving, you know, this thing moves around, has legs and all that, and all of a sudden it is just a blob. I always think that, you know, we're looking up in the sky for aliens, so other life forms that we can't even imagine. This, between the, you know, the octopus or something like this, I think, you know, the aliens may already be here. We may have already gotten things from other planets we don't understand. It was just bizarre to see. So this gelatinous mass then gets a little bit of a shell on it that develops. And then obviously the caterpillar, the cells start to reorganize themselves, and it becomes this butterfly. And it's a fascinating thing in and itself that it goes from this caterpillar that's fully functioning with legs and a mouth and a stomach and all that, turns into just a liquid mass of cells and comes out the other side as something that looks absolutely nothing like the caterpillar. It's tiny little head and the big wings. So it breaks out. It's actually a very beautiful butterfly. Again, I believe this was called the tree nymph. And it shows it coming out of the chrysalis and breaking out. The wings are kind of crumpled. Like I said, they're kind of paper-like. When you see this thing just start to puff up. You know, they do kind of a time-lapse photography, and these things puff up. So it's just amazing to watch this thing go through this transformative stage. And then this butterfly takes flight for the first time, and it flies about 100 feet, and boom, it ends up in a spider's web. And I thought, oh my gosh, how cruel is that? All that work, eating the poison leaves to protect yourself against the predators. Then you go through this whole, I think it was a 2-week process to go from the caterpillar into the butterfly. It puts in all that work of hanging upside down all that time and reorganizing all the cells to finally break out, learns how to fly, and boom, goes straight into this giant spider's web. But here was the interesting thing about it, was that this thing gets trapped in a spider's web, and the spider comes down to this newly formed butterfly that has just emerged, and you just think, oh man, is that not the worst luck ever? But the spider starts kind of probing this thing. It doesn't really look like it bites it, but it has antennas that starts kind of tapping around on this immobilized butterfly that is trapped in this web. And somehow the butterfly has retained enough of these toxic poisons that it would actually kill the spider, and the spider knows that by doing its little probing. So the spider can't eat this thing. Now, that was kind of interesting enough. I thought, oh, wow, still kind of sucks. He's, you know, he's trapped in this web. Spider can't eat him. He's just going to die. The spider comes down and cuts this butterfly out of the web and lets it move on. Now, I don't know. I talk about the fact I'm an economics nerd and a politician nerd, and I study things like quantum physics, which I barely even understand, which may make me a nerd. Now I'm a nature nerd. I don't know if that's interesting to anybody else, but it's pretty fascinating stuff. And to me, at this point, wildly more entertaining, informative, and interesting than what we're seeing on mainstream news. When I come back, I'm going to get into something. I watched a documentary called Kill the Messenger this weekend that I do recommend. It's a good movie, but the true story behind it, the story of Gary Webb, is what is even more interesting. And I felt like, you know, that watching these stories, and I'll explain who Gary Webb was and everything on the other side of this, but this guy was essentially a whistleblower. He was what used to be in this country an investigative reporter. And we know that all this corruption goes on all around us, and we see the elites getting away with the things they get away with, and we see there were no prosecutions of bankers after the financial collapse in 2008. Now, we just know there's this two-tier justice system for us, but I don't think most people really understand exactly how bad it is. So we're going to talk about Gary Webb, what he discovered, what he broke, what happened to him as a consequence of this, which will explain to you why we have no more investigative reporters in this country and why there's so much corruption and people get away from it. And then we're going to point to what I think is just true racism. You know, if you're in the black community and you're looking for racism and you're looking at your boss or you're looking at people just walking down the street or just want to generally cast out the net that anybody that's a different race than you might be some kind of a racist, I'm going to show you real racism as we talk about this, the story of Gary Webb. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar.
They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. This show, I really try to do cover things that you won't hear in other places. The process is called waking up. It's kind of starting to understand the way things are, trying to chip away at people's trust in the government or the political parties. I mean, we've just been tricked. It's about the only way I can really explain it. And so I watched the movie Kill the Messenger. I think it's what's the guy's name, like Jeremy Renner or something like that, is in this movie. And it is it's about a reporter named Gary Webb. And this is the same kind of massive corruption and cover up that's going on with Jeffrey Epstein that we're seeing now. Talked about, and I would imagine ultimately probably swept under the rug to some degree. Hopefully I'll be surprised, but that's not determined yet. Most people don't know who Gary Webb is, and you won't see any recent interviews with him because he committed suicide, I believe, in 2007 when he shot himself in the head twice. I'm not sure exactly how that works out, but it was ruled a suicide. He was shot in the head twice. He was a reporter with the San Jose Mercury News back in the 1990s. And he started working on a story in the early 90s. I believe it was around 93, possibly in 92, 93. Worked on a story for about a year. What Gary Webb did with a series of articles that won him a lot of awards originally, and I'll explain that in a second, he exposed the fact that our government, and this was under both the Reagan administration and the Bush administration, and this stuff goes on under every administration, our government, and with the CIA complicity, was complicit in allowing the running of massive amounts of cocaine that led to the crack epidemic in the United States during the 1980s, 1990s. And if you lived through that period of time, you know that really is when drugs in this country really just started decimating communities. There always had been some drug problems, but the crack epidemic was especially bad. Particularly in inner cities, just about everywhere. And so all the while, the American people are being told that that we're waging this war on drugs. This was a big thing from Nancy Reagan. And look, you know, for anybody who's out there that's a you're a Republican, you think I'm some radical leftist busting this. This stuff happens under every administration. There's other stories I probably should cover as well, as the pilot Barry Seal, who was the one that was flying cocaine into Mena, Arkansas, while Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas. Barry Seal also, I don't know if he was considered murdered. I don't know if his death was ruled a suicide, but he was doing kind of in the same operation. They're running these drugs. So while publicly the government is telling you we're fighting this war on drugs, drugs are this existential threat to this country, with the biggest, most serious problem we face, and we've got the DEA and we've got local law enforcement, everybody fighting this war on drugs. Yet what Gary Webb found, and the movie explains it better, I'm going to let you hear in just a minute from Gary Webb and a former DEA official who knew about this. What Gary Webb found is that this was in order to help the Contra rebels in Nicaragua fighting communism. Congress didn't want to fund that war, and so the CIA partnered up with some Nicaraguan drug lords and allowed them to run massive amounts of cocaine into this country. And when we're talking about massive, we're talking about massive amounts of cocaine were being run in here. They were going into Los Angeles, and from there we're hitting all kinds of cities across the country. This is also, and somebody I'd love to get on the show, I maybe should try, Freeway Ricky Ross. Very interesting case of Freeway Ricky Ross. I believe he was making something like $340 million a week. He was running so much cocaine. He started out with just a little bit, and then within just a few weeks they were giving him just tons of cocaine to get out on the streets, and it decimated South Central Los Angeles particularly. That was kind of ground zero for it in the crack epidemic. This could never have been done if it were not the CIA kind of helping to facilitate it. Now, the CIA did not actually deal the drugs themselves. There was not even a charge of that itself. But essentially what they did was they said, well, we need to fund this war. These Nicaraguans say if we allow them, if we look the other way while they run all this cocaine in the United States, they'll use some of that money to buy weapons to support these rebels that we want to support down in Nicaragua. And Gary Webb got a hold of this thing and started doing a story on it. Now, what's really interesting about that as well is that as he did, well, the government came after Gary Webb. This is why we have no more investigative journalists in this country. They destroyed him. They destroyed his marriage. They destroyed him professionally. They went after everything with him because he wouldn't drop the story. The cowards at the newspaper for legal purposes, because the government started coming in to challenge. And this is, again, back in the 1990s, led by things like the Washington Post. The Washington Post started challenging the story, trying to discredit Gary Webb. The Washington Post ran all of the government talking points, so the government uses an establishment media source like the Washington Post. The New York Times might have been involved as well in trying to discredit Gary Webb. This little San Jose Mercury News, which had broken this big story, and it was well documented. It was not a fake, but they proceeded to destroy Gary Webb and his paper, the San Jose Mercury News, ended up having to print some clarifications and say, well, we don't know, there were some mistakes made, these kinds of things, because they understood suddenly that they were in the crosshairs of the federal government, which has unlimited power to just sue somebody into, you know, wrap them up in court and cause them all kinds of problems. And that's why I say investigative journalism in this country is dead at any of the major news networks, because they know what can happen. And to the black community, you know, when you think about that, you know, what I've been fascinated by is watching, particularly in this age of Trump, that the Democrats have tried to lead the black community into the loving arms of things like the FBI and the CIA and these big government things, you know, because the FBI did their investigation into Donald Trump. Suddenly the FBI and John Brennan with the CIA are darlings of the left. But these are the same organizations that were infiltrating the civil rights movement back in the 60s and the anti-war movement in the 1970s, all these things that liberals used to champion, these deep state offices of FBI and CIA were using all kinds of tactics to go after people in both of those movements. And now you are hearing now, many of you for the first time, that the CIA was involved in running crack cocaine into black communities throughout the 80s, just destroying lives. Just hundreds of thousands of lives were destroyed in this crack epidemic. Yet for some reason on the left, they're trying to convince the black community that what you need to do is you need to give the government more power over your lives. They're going to fix everything for you. When the government has really been through either policies or things like what I'm talking about now with these deep state agencies, the government has been a wrecking ball to the black community for so long. You know, you want to look for racism everywhere. Well, I got to tell you, if you look at an agency that was running tons of crack cocaine into black communities, and there certainly were whites involved too, but South Central was overwhelmingly a minority population there, and that was really kind of ground zero for this. You just look at what the devastation that's been wrought by the same government, and yet the black community goes to the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party tells you that the government loves you and they're there to help fix everything, when all of the history says that is not it at all. And this is really a message to people of all colors. It doesn't matter, minority, majority, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't really matter. Because our government and our political class have an agenda of wealth and power, and that does not include you. It does not include me. We are the patsies in the whole situation. When I come back, I'm going to play this clip of Gary Webb and a guy named Michael Levine, who is with the DEA, as they talk about exactly what took place. And again, this is just something people should be armed with. You should know. I was very upset last week that Donald Trump, it's been reported that he signed this thing to give the CIA more power to just take on operations without anybody really checking off on them at the White House. They kind of run autonomously now. I'm very upset with Donald Trump for that, and this is the reason. The CIA is not our friend. It's not making the world a safer place. The CIA is an instigator. And in this particular situation, they actually turned the misery on the American people in helping facilitate the crack epidemic of the 1980s. When I come back, we'll listen to Gary Webb pre-suicide, before he shot himself in the head twice. I'll be right back. All night with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we're talking about Gary Webb here. This is not a new story, this is an old story. Gary Webb broke news about the CIA being complicit in massive amounts of cocaine being imported into the United States from Nicaragua and Central America during the 1980s. He broke the story in the mid-1990s. So this is not a new story, but it's something that people should know. I'm probably the only person you'll hear on conservative talk radio that is just really against the war on drugs. I'm against anything that the government declares a war on. The war on terror is a way to strip us of a ton of our rights and make sure that we stay involved in long, costly Middle Eastern wars for decades and decades. I'm against the war on poverty, which has not been a success. The war on cancer has not been doing a good job. If you've looked at cancer rates, we've gone from 1 in 30 people to having cancer to 1 in 3. And the war on drugs is no different. When they declare a war on something, it turns into just basically a profit machine. See, there's an awful lot of money that's involved in illicit drugs. It's what spawns cartels. And most recently, just within the last couple of years, there's reporting that the CIA had kind of weighed in on the Mexican cartel stuff and decided that their guys were the Sinaloa cartel. You know, they didn't want all the violence down there and the instability of it in our southern neighbor. So they just pretty much just said, okay, well, we're fine with the Sinaloa cartel running the drug operation in Mexico. So, you know, resources should be expended at the DEA level and other levels to take out the rivals to the Sinaloa cartel. You know, some more stability if you've just got one cartel in charge. Not as much infighting. I don't have time to get into the Gary Webb clip. I'm going to have to do that after the top of the hour. But I did want to play this because these kinds of stories do not end. I mean, they do not stop. This is a story that was... they're not really even that old. Let's see if I can get it here. Yeah. This is a story. You know, it's one of these things. You know, during the Vietnam, a lot of money was made off of running heroin out of Southeast Asia. Now, some of it was just soldiers who saw opportunities to do it, other opportunists that saw ways to do it. But there was also implications that the government itself, for black operations, groups like the CIA, could have taken advantage of that situation too. But it's not even that old. I mean, these things continue to go on. This is a story it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago now, about our involvement in Afghanistan that probably most people don't know.
So here's the question. Why are American troops now helping Afghan farmers grow that opium? Nick Schifrin reports from Afghanistan on a controversial new policy.
In western Kandahar, poppy farmers score, till, harvest their crop, and the Americans do nothing to stop them. U.S. soldiers greet farmers.
Can you show me which poppy field is yours?
They commiserate with farmers having a bad harvest.
Tell them I'm very sorry for this field this year, and hopefully it's a better harvest next year.
And in one case, they even paid a farmer $1,000 after U.S. and Afghan special forces burned his crop.
If you can come down to the base on my next visit, I'll make a payment.
This is controversial. The opium trade is the Taliban's main source of funding.
Around here, this poppy isn't only a plant. It's the very basis of the economy here. Poppy grows everywhere in this area, and most of the farmers base their entire income for the entire season on this harvest.
And that's why soldiers ignore and encourage the farmers. If the U.S. burned their crop, farmers would blame the U.S. for their poverty and turn toward the Taliban.
Afghanistan today produces over 90% of the world supply of heroin. And the invasion of Afghanistan occurred at a moment when the Afghan government, together with the United Nations, had implemented a far-reaching drug eradication program. In other words, they were eliminating opium and implementing crop rotation, crop substitution with the support of the UN. They were congratulated by in the United Nations General Assembly in fall of 2001. And in fact, what the Taliban government achieved was more than 90% collapse in opium production recorded in 2001. Now, immediately upon the influx of U.S. troops and the occupation of Afghanistan, the production of opium sprung up to its historical levels and has increased multiple times since then.
Yeah. So since we've been in Afghanistan, the growing of poppy in the heroin trade out of Afghanistan has gone up, I believe, is by about 10 times. 10 times what it was when we entered Afghanistan in 2001. Now, you think that's just some kind of an accident? And is it interesting to anybody that immediately following that, we suddenly had this opioid heroin epidemic break out in the United States? So what happened with the crack epidemic back in the 1980s has been going on now with the heroin epidemic that we have seen during the 2000s. That's the same playbook over and over and over again. Yet this is the war on terror and the war on drugs all combined into one big corrupt party. And when I come back, I'll play this stuff from Gary Webb. As I say, it's just historical stuff people should be aware of. That these are the ways that these war on drugs, war on terror, war on all of these things actually operate. That is propaganda talking points for the little people. That's not the real world, and that's not exactly how it's working. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. We're taking a break today from headlines. I don't want to talk about COVID. I don't want to talk about protests. I don't want to talk about Trump or Biden today. I'm just kind of over it right now.
something interesting will come along, I'm sure. It always does. But as of right now, we're taking a little bit of a detour into something that's really an old topic, and we're talking about Gary Webb, the reporter for the San Jose Mercury News, who back in the 1990s broke the story that the CIA was complicit in. They were encouraging and allowing Nicaraguan drug lords to ship in massive amounts of cocaine into the United States to be used by the American people while the government was telling you they were waging a war on drugs. Part of the government was actually participating in flooding the streets with drugs. It's very much like the war on terror, where they tell you that we are going after and going to seek out and destroy all these radical jihadists around the world who hate us for our freedom. And then you find out, oh, it actually turns out we've been funding ISIS. We've been training ISIS. They called them, air quotes here in the studio, moderate rebels. You just heard the story just a second ago that we were actually, your taxpayer dollars have gone to pay for the losses of people growing opium, which turns into heroin in Afghanistan since we've been there, and that the Afghan heroin has gone up by about tenfold since the occupation by the U.S. troops in Afghanistan. And you heard that soldier on the clip I just played say, hey, come on down to our base. We'll cut you a check. Some of the crops got damaged by some of our stuff. Some of their crops got burned. So the American taxpayer stroked a check to a farmer who was growing heroin, growing opium, to reimburse him for his losses. Meanwhile, here in the United States, somebody gets caught with one of these plants in their pocket or in a traffic stop, and they end up getting into a cage. I've talked a lot about the story of HSBC. HSBC got caught laundering billions of dollars of drug money, and they knew it was drug money. So much so that when the money came into the banks, HSBC actually created boxes that would slide through the teller windows because they were getting it in trash bags. And that was hard for their people to count. It was unwieldy to have to deal with that. So they created boxes for the drug cartels. So, hey, when you come bring the cash, you can just slide it in the window. Did anybody go to jail? No, absolutely not. HSBC paid a little fine, and they are still operating as a bank right now. And they're not the only ones. The illegal drug trade is a huge, huge business. Arms trades and drug trades are two of the biggest things out there. And governments are involved in them just like these cartel members are. So we're talking about Gary Webb. I want to play this clip. This is Gary Webb. He appeared on the Montel Williams show. Now, you may be thinking, Montel Williams, why wasn't he on 60 Minutes? Well, actually, he might have done a 60 Minutes thing, but, you know, mainstream media doesn't want to cover this stuff. That's why they destroyed Gary Webb when he broke this story of the CIA being involved in just this community-wrecking crack epidemic of the 1980s. They destroyed him. They destroyed his career. They destroyed his family. And ultimately, he died for doing it. So Montel has him on. So you're going to listen to Gary Webb kind of recount the story of exactly what went on. And then you're going to be, he's joined by a guy named Michael Levine, who was also a high up, very decorated DEA officer before he left and became a whistleblower as well.
First, and then we'll talk about the issues.
It was about a cocaine ring that operated along the west coast of the United States throughout most of the 80s. And they were funneling, they were selling cocaine in South Central. They were also selling it in Oakland. They were selling it in San Francisco. They were selling it in San Jose. And some of the money they were making was going to support an army that the men who ran the cocaine ring worked for, called the FDN. This was an army that the CIA started in 1981 and supported.
Better known to us, most of us who remember news, the Contras from Nicaragua. So go right ahead.
The men that were running the cocaine ring were top officials of this Contra army. And what we found was that they were selling this stuff in South Central, which is, you know, predominantly black section of Los Angeles, immediately before the outbreak of the crack cocaine epidemic. They started selling powder. Tons and tons and tons of powder cocaine was going into this one small area of the city. And from there, they sold it to Freeway Rick. And Freeway Rick took the powder, turned it into crack, and starting in 1983, 1984, began distributing it to predominantly the gangs, the Crips and the Bloods in Los Angeles. And they spread it, you know, from there.
From there. Now, this, since this is...
And there's your war on drugs, too. I had forgotten about that little nugget. This also fed the gangs in this country. You know, while the police and everybody comes out and says we're fighting against these evil gangs and there's gang warfare and all that stuff, your drug war was actually supporting these gangs, giving them all of the funding they needed. And this is why when you see this stuff, when you start to understand the way the world really works, you know, this is why I'm an outsider. And I look at people who vote Republican or Democrat like you're making some kind of a difference. I just almost laugh at this point. Because this stuff happens under both Republicans and Democrats. They say we're fighting terrorism. It turns out they were actually funding some of the terrorism. They say they're fighting the war on drugs. Turns out they were actually facilitating some of the war on drugs. And this is just goes on endlessly. Nobody seems to notice. So I carve out my little parts of the show here to make sure people are paying attention.
This happened. You have butted heads with everybody in Washington, D.C. trying to get information about the story, have you not?
Yeah, we worked on this for a year, and it was only because, you know, some people at National Archives believe freedom of information means freedom of information. We got some documents that showed that pretty strongly that there were some CIA connections to this.
Let's talk a little bit about those documents for a second, because there's a gentleman, this figure that we talked about yesterday on the show, his name is Blandón. Danilo Blandón, who was a person who was a member of the aristocracy of Nicaragua before the fall of Somoza, and then he fled and comes to the United States and decides, while he's in the United States, so you can all understand this, he wants to raise money for the revolutionaries who are trying to overthrow the government that just overthrew them. So here in the United States, they try to do fundraisers, and that doesn't work, and then Blandón gets a scheme, well, I can get some cocaine cheaply with some help from some of my friends and get it into the United States of America. All I need to find is somebody who can sell it. So they find a gentleman by the name of Rick Ross, who is Freeway Rick. Rick Ross comes in and starts selling cocaine at the term's beginning, 1 or 2 grams. And within weeks, 2, 3, 4 kilos a week. Within months, what was it, 10 to 15 kilos a day. Ricky Ross was selling cocaine to the point of making $3 to $4 million a day. He sold so much cocaine, it hurt his fingers to count the money. Not only in Los Angeles, but in Cincinnati, in St. Louis, all the way across America. So some can say, and this is the reason why people are so angry at you in your article, is that Ricky Ross, the dope dealer, was supplied by the CIA because Blandón was an operative for the CIA, correct?
Blandón and Meneses were working for an army that was a wholly owned subsidiary of the CIA. They were meeting with CIA agents. Blandón, and this came out in court. I mean, Danilo Blandón is now a government witness. He works for the Drug Enforcement Administration. And we've paid him, I don't know, $166,000 over the last 18 months because he's such a good informant. So they put him on the witness stand in Ricky Ross's case. And he testified that in 1981, he went to Honduras. He met with the commander, the military commander of the CIA's army. And he was instructed to go raise money in California for this Contra army. And he was told that the ends justified the means.
And those ends being sell cocaine if
you want to. Well, look, he was in the room with the Nicaraguan representative of the Cali cartel, Mr. Meneses, and he was in the room with a government marketing expert named Danilo Blandón. Now, if they weren't talking about selling cocaine, I don't know what they were talking about.
And this is all information they can find on a website. I have to use that website. But on a website on the Internet. So we're going to put that up so people can go and
look at these documents.
Take a look at the documents yourself and judge it. But Michael, now, I mean, there's a stretch.
I got to take a quick break. They're about to talk to Michael Levine, who is a former DEA agent, a highly decorated DEA agent. And he has left the DEA and is talking about the fact that the DEA was involved in this stuff, too. Is that surprising to anybody? That the Drug Enforcement Agency? You know, these groups that are fighting the war on drugs. Except when they need to do some other kind of operation, when they need to fund something. Then they look the other way. They actually facilitate massive amounts. And again, this is not some beat cop looking the other way for the corner dealer because the corner dealer's giving him $1,000 a week. You're talking about tons and tons and tons of cocaine shipped into inner city neighborhoods across this country in the 1980s. And the DEA and the CIA know about it, help facilitate it, help cover it up. The people that are in charge of it, like this Blandón guy, end up working for the DEA. Taxpayer dollars go to pay his salary. He wrecked communities in the 1980s. So we'll listen to this DEA agent.
back to your childhood, I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, there's a lot of stuff out now about law and order. Trump is setting himself up to be the law and order president. He keeps sending out the same tweet, just law and order in all caps with an exclamation point behind it. And a lot of people understand that, and I do too. I mean, you can't have people just going around burning businesses and looting businesses and taking to the streets and shutting down freeways and these kinds of things. It's just, I'd like to see that expanded. It would be really nice if that law, the law part of that actually went up, you know, to the powers that be in this country, to the real elites, to the HSBC banks that get caught laundering drug money. And they're not alone. Many banks have been caught laundering drug money. To these government agencies and agents who were involved in flooding U.S. streets with crack cocaine in the 1980s. People who were involved in the decision to guard the poppy fields in Afghanistan and put our troops, we send our troops away from their families and their friends, our moms, our dads, our brothers, our sisters, our sons and daughters. We send them halfway around the world to guard opium fields. In Afghanistan, it seems like the law is exercised pretty heavily on the average Joe in America. There's a ton of different laws for us. The laws just don't seem, there's some level at which the law just doesn't really seem to matter anymore. Whether it's the Clintons or, you know, what went on under H.W. Bush, the CIA drug running into the United States. This is the DEA agent. Again, we're talking about Gary Webb's investigative reporting. This is from, and you can watch the story of this. It's a good movie based on this, which is called Kill the Messenger. I watched it on Netflix. It's been around for a while. And I think there's also documentaries. Well, I think the one is called Dark Alliance was the name of the book that Gary Webb put out about government involvement in drug running in the 1980s. This is a guy named Michael Levine, and he has written some books too, I believe. He's a former highly decorated DEA agent and had also studied this drug running into the United States during the 1980s.
But Michael, now, I mean, there's a stretch here. Here's a guy who is obviously a CIA operative, Mr. Blandone, who is working with this government-backed army that we've kind of created in Nicaragua. But how the heck does this guy get to bring in tons of cocaine? When I say I'm talking tons. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tons of cocaine.
Now, I want you to think about this, too. When you see the, you know, we see the footage all the time. Somebody's driving down an interstate. They were massive drug bust. You know, they put the cocaine or the marijuana and some handguns and some cash on a table. And they say, hey, we just did this. And understand that those things are just, they're tiny little drops in a bucket. I mean, they're just absolutely nothing. If you took all of the footage and all of the, you know, they captured El Chapo and they captured this guy and they took down Escobar. And what happens immediately? Well, somebody else just pops up in their place. I mean, there's just no, this doesn't happen. And so you see this footage, or you know, around here in any city around here where the guys come, you know, the cops come out and they say, look at this big drug bust we did. We raided a house and we found, you know, $60,000 in cash and 3 kilos of cocaine, and here's some OxyContin and whatever else they find, and they parade it around. And you understand, oh, well, the government was bringing in tons of it. You know, you got 4 kilos and $60,000 in cash, yet the government was facilitating tons of cocaine coming in the 1980s, and the guy running at Freeway, Ricky Ross, was making, I think the number I heard was $340 million a week is what they were bringing in. So all these little busts that make big headlines in local communities, they don't even, I mean, they're a rounding error to just what happened in the 1980s under the CIA.
Weekly in the United States of America for 7 years, and no one can ever catch him.
Well, and this is another thing, too. Yeah, so they ran this operation for 7 years. So just imagine this is some crooked people at the top of the CIA and the top of the DEA. They were facilitating this at the orders of, you know, people like Oliver North or whoever else was involved in this. You mean to tell me that nobody else, no other law enforcement for 7 years, they were shipping in tons of cocaine? Nobody happened to notice that? This reminds me of when ISIS was running oil operations from Raqqa in Syria, and they had a like an ant line of tanker trucks full of Syrian oil. When they overtook the oil fields in Raqqa, they were selling to Turkey. So these, in the middle of the desert, you understand, there's no trees, there's nowhere to hide. These trucks are just driving through the desert, easy as it can possibly be. There's no other terrain that it is easier to see a convoy of trucks go. And I think it was something like 13 or 15 months they were running this oil operation, and ISIS was making billions of dollars. Nobody noticed it. Nobody noticed? A convoy of ISIS trucks moving through the desert for over a year? Of course they noticed it. But they wanted ISIS to fund itself because they wanted them to take down the government of Syria. It's just this. Yet we are told that ISIS was our enemy and we would go to the ends of earth. We will follow them to the gates of hell to get ISIS. But we allowed them to run an oil operation for over a year in the desert. We are committed to ridding our country of all illegal drugs and the scourge that it places on our society. Well, except for the 7 to 8 tons of cocaine a week that we allowed to come in for 7 years. You see how this works? And how badly misled and tricked the American people are?
One, Mr. Meneses was actually indicted in 1984. He was known within my own sources in DEA told me he was known as el rey de la droga, the king of drugs. He was in more than 40 files and indicted mysteriously. And people within DEA say that it was CIA intervention that kept this sealed indictment from ever being opened. So he was well known. He's well known. The connection between him, Blandón, and Calero, who was the head of the Nicaraguan government in exile, is clear. There's a clear evidentiary.
Well, we got a picture of him.
Yeah, there's a clear evidentiary trail. Now, if you want to follow that trail up, you have to first understand how CIA and DEA work. I was a country attaché assigned to Argentina. Now, during those years, there were people who I inherited on the payroll who were murderers. They were also on the CIA payroll.
So murderers.
On the CIA payroll. Not only murderers. I'm talking about mass murderers. And I wrote about it in books that I thought would have America marching on Washington. Nothing ever happened.
How are you alive today?
A miracle. Just absolutely.
Why didn't the CIA bump you off before you came to the Montel Williams show? Because to me, they will say tomorrow, he's a kook, he's crazy, don't believe anything he has to say, don't worry about it, there's no conspiracy.
Well, at the same time, DEA called me one of their best in a New York Times article. The only thing I can say, Montel, I lost my son. I lost my brother because of this phony CIA-backed drug flow. Somebody once said that if you don't have anything in your life to die for, you don't have anything to live for. And after losing my son, that's the story of my life. God bless Gary Webb. I've been trying to tell this, and other DEA agents are now coming out trying to tell this story.
Let me take a break. We come back.
And so that's what's very interesting to me. They bring up kind of a good point. You know, why would they let some of these whistleblowers go? Now, Gary Webb, again, so-called committed, air quotes here in the studio, suicide. He shot himself in the head twice. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's a way that happens. I don't know. But there was talk that he was working on further investigative stuff, but I don't know. Maybe the guy committed suicide. I mean, the government swooped in and the media establishment swooped in on Gary Webb when he broke this story. They destroyed his life, destroyed his career. They destroyed his family. They destroyed him financially. They destroyed him every which way. But when they asked the question, well, you know, And you hear this former DEA guy say, look, I've written this in my books, and I really thought when I released this book that the American people would take to the streets with this kind of information, of this kind of corruption. He's talking about DEA and CIA having people in these other countries that are not just murderers, but mass murderers, and the U.S. taxpayer is paying them. And all of these nasty little things. The simple fact of the matter is, we're so distracted, or dumb, or uninformed, or whatever. I don't know what it is. I mean, you have got, seriously, we have got an elite child sex trafficking ring that has been, was operating for a couple of decades, really, before anybody got in any kind of trouble. And when Jeffrey Epstein got in trouble, he just got a slap on the wrist, and the story went very cold for about 13 years after that. Well, 12 years. I guess he did a little bit of time in 2008, and it wasn't until 2019, again, before the Miami Herald wrote another story about Jeffrey Epstein. But this thing was going on, and all the elites are hobnobbing with Jeffrey Epstein even after he was convicted and jailed for child sex trafficking. You know, I look at what's going on right now with the bailouts of Wall Street. Wall Street right now is receiving trillions and trillions of dollars of bailouts through Fed things. Now, in 2008, I guess they made a mistake in the way they marketed it. They called it a bailout, and the people got all upset, and a bunch of people marched, and the Tea Party formed, and Occupy Wall Street formed. So they just decided, oh, well, we'll just tell them, you know, these are just lending facilities as opposed to bailouts. And now they're doing probably about 10 times what they did in 2008. Yeah, do the American people care? Are we in the streets? Are we even paying attention? No, I would imagine I may be the only show on conservative talk radio even talking about it. Because all this stuff goes on right out in public. I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. We were talking about Biden, I guess it was, and, you know, his corruption when it comes to Ukraine and Hunter Biden and China. And I just asked him the question. I said, why do you think it is that this kind of corruption and pay-to-play type stuff that the Clinton Foundation was doing, you know, we've heard about the insider trading of Congress critters and stuff. Why do you think it is that nobody actually ever gets prosecuted? I mean, if the Republicans and the Democrats are these two opposing forces and they're just bent on the destruction of the other one, which is the game that we all play, right? You decide if you're a Republican or a Democrat, and then you go on social media and you scream at anybody who's on the other side of the aisle and you call them all kinds of horrible names. If they are really locked in this big battle in Washington, D.C., how is none of this really obvious to everybody? Corruption on the Democratic side not actually ever prosecuted? Why don't Republicans ever actually draw blood on any of these things? And they're either wildly inept, which I don't necessarily believe. There's a lot of very long-seasoned Republican politicians in Washington, D.C., and they run the Justice Department from time to time, right? They ran it for 8 years under George Bush. They've run it for 4 years under Donald Trump. It's because the whole thing is basically show the people the corruption to the other side, get everybody outraged, but we're not going to do anything about it because each side knows they have their own corruption too, and they can't really, the game just needs to keep going. And that's why the American people don't get outraged, because everybody thinks it's just, oh, it's just on the other side. That those Democrats and that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Or the Democrats will say, look at Dick Cheney making all that money off of war, and they're right about that too. But it's pretty stunning to me, you know, when I go back and kind of revisit the story of the crack cocaine epidemic of the 1980s, I mean, to the black community, this was absolutely devastating, yet no heads rolled. I think the director of the CIA at the time the story broke, he wasn't the head of the CIA when the operation was running, but John Deutsch, I think his name was, he went to South Central and did a little press conference where the citizens there actually came, showed up for a meeting, and they grilled him with some tough questions. If I had time, I'd play that whole thing. It was a kind of a town hall thing where they weren't buying anything he said. He did end up resigning, but that was it. Nobody got in any trouble. Nobody went to jail. How many people were killed in the crack cocaine epidemic and the gang warfare that went on between the Crips and the Bloods around this stuff during the 1980s? Thousands and thousands of people. I would imagine if you start looking at drug overdoses or any of the other health problems that ended up killing people with the crack cocaine epidemic, you're talking about tens of thousands of Americans just dead. Communities destroyed. Children living in horrible conditions and very violent, unsafe situations. Yet nobody got into any trouble for it. And that's what that's the United States that I see. And that's not anti-American. We've got a great country. It's just that we're ruled by, we've allowed a rot and corruption at the heart of the system that allows that kind of stuff goes on. Tons of powder cocaine coming in right under the government's nose while they know and encourage it to happen. But boy, if you find some kid who's driving down the road and he's got a dime bag of marijuana, or you pull him over, he's going to do 90 days. He's got to go to drug court. He's got to check in with his probation officer. I mean, they put those people through the ringer for little drug offenses, because the laws are for the little people, not for the people that actually put those kind of drugs on the street in the first place. It's stunning to me, but I share the frustration of this author who said he thought that the American people would go into the street, but apparently it's just not ever going to happen. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I'm going to weigh in on the show. I've been talking for about the last hour, piecing together the story of Gary Webb and his investigation and the fact that our own government flooded, you know, that's a bad way to put it. I don't want to overstate it. It was not the CIA dealing drugs. It was the CIA making an arrangement with Nicaraguan drug lords and saying, hey, you know, go ahead and run as much cocaine. If you'll fund our war, we'll let you run as much cocaine into the American streets as you want. And that's exactly what happened. And it's just one of these things that I just look at, and it's not contested. It's not really controversial. It's just the things that happen, yet people don't really seem to care about that stuff. We believe the war on drugs is the war on drugs. Anyway, got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Hey, beautiful day. We got air and opportunity. I just saw on the news that was not one of your traditional big news names, although it was Fox. In Portland, I believe that they've now come out with a group that's helping the protesters. It's called the Wall of Moms, where the mothers of the protesters are getting between the protesters and the police.
Oh, my God. They brought their mommies. They brought their mommies to the protest. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, anybody that's under 18, those mothers need to be charged with child endangerment, contributing to, you know, there's a multitude of stuff. But what's in the water up there? Is it the water, the air?
I tell you what was really interesting. I think it was the Portland police chief came out. He's, I believe, if I saw the picture, I hope I may get a couple of these little things wrong, but I know the quote was, the guy came out and said, look, there are more black people, there are more minorities in the police force than there are actually in these protests and riots in Portland. That this is a bunch of snot-nosed, privileged little white kids that are out there causing all this problem in the first place. And the police officer, I mean, you want to talk about scratching your heads when you've got a bunch of minorities in police uniforms having to fight off against a bunch of young white radicals about racism. That's insane.
Well, it seemed like if it was me, I would be insulted that it took the white people to tell the black people how they're being discriminated against.
Oh, I think a lot of the black community is seeing that. I mean, there have been a lot of people that have come out and said, look, we're not, you know, a lot of people who have got a legitimate gripe with some police brutality. I mean, I think that's a real issue there that needs to be addressed, but they don't want any of this stuff. This stuff is being ginned up by a bunch of, you know, middle-class, upper-middle-class white kids that are just trying to virtue signal, and they've all turned these radical socialists. Has nothing to do with, you know, with the black community.
And if there's a better system in the world, nobody's found it. But as every day goes by,
these police are doing the best they can, and it's not like they're living in 1950. Anything that's not, what I'm trying to say is every day people are trying to improve themselves and the systems and everything else. And tearing stuff down and starting from day one is not an answer. I mean, they want to say that our life, because of our Christian values, is wrong, and that Darwinism, that, you know, that's the correct way of evolution, not creationism. Well, why can't they use that same logic that every day the police departments are trying to get better?
Well, what
every
I find
day
is
they're improving.
What I find so interesting about what the left's tactic now, which is just so counterproductive, I really believe we're living in a time, it seems to me like, a lot of times Trump's trying to lose the election, Biden's trying to lose the election, the left is trying to give it away. You know, the left and things like the cancel culture, it's very interesting to me. I can be very critical of Donald Trump. I'm disappointed in him. He's the reasons I voted for him, he hasn't delivered on. I know I'm kind of alone on that in central Mississippi, but the funny thing is, the only thing that really will get me to defend Donald Trump is the left, because they're so nutball about the way they approach it. It actually makes me more pro-Trump. There was a reporter or a columnist for the New York Times named Barry Weiss. She is kind of a left-of-center person. I don't like Barry Weiss, but she was just canceled by the cancel culture. Now, suddenly, this woman, Barry Weiss, who I didn't really care for, I find myself on her side because the left has gone so nutball, and they went after one of their own, that now she has my sympathies. The police and the way policing has been done in this country for decades now, particularly with this war on drugs I've been talking about, I think we are over-policed, and the police have got things need to change with policing. I hate civil asset forfeiture where they can just take cash that you've got. Just they say you don't need. But the funny thing is, the only thing that will really make me want to defend the police is the nut job left, because they've gone so crazy that they make me very sympathetic to the police. It's like everything they touch, they make sane people go the opposite direction of them.
And it's getting worse by the day.
Yeah.
I wake up and say, well, it can get worse, but they prove me wrong every day.
Well, hopefully this is a pendulum situation. You know, this is some bizarre extreme we've got to live through. And the worse the left gets with the riots or shutting down parts of the cities, or, you know, I talked a couple of weeks ago about this, you know, a yoga instructor. He's a liberal, hippie-ish 50-year-old yoga instructor with 6 stores. Well, the left cancel culture came after him because his website wasn't diverse enough, and he's at the verge of losing his business. By that, I just bring that up because it's like the left is devouring every single thing. They demand complete adherence, and it seems like they're going to extinguish themselves because more and more people are going to leave that movement the more ridiculous they get. So hopefully this is just kind of going to extinguish itself, because eventually they're going to turn off just about everybody except for that really radical 5% of population.
Sure. And God help us if it happened, but if Trump was to lose, all this will disappear overnight.
Yeah, there's that
Trump
possibility,
wins,
too.
You remember, they promised they were all going to move to Canada, and, you know, they lied. Maybe they'll move this time.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it. A lot of empty threats when it comes to that kind of stuff. But anyway, got to run to a break, but I appreciate the call. It is going crazy out there. Thanks
so
much.
Thank you, but moms, the wall of moms, pull it up on Fox.
Wall of moms. All right, thanks. I appreciate the tip. That does that cracks me up just thinking that these people, these snowflakes, have actually needed to get their mommies out on the get their mommies out on the front lines with them. It seems about appropriate. I'll be right back.
If you are considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, last few minutes of the show today, where we took a little bit of a detour, talked about the Gary Webb investigation back in the 1990s into CIA involvement in drug running into the United States. And that's the kind of thing that opens up the floodgates in me to talk about all the rest of the kinds of things like that, you know, these public-facing things, the narratives that were told, and then what the truth is behind the scenes just don't line up with any of these so-called wars they talk about. Ooh, I talked to somebody yesterday about some stuff I'll do on my health show on Wednesday about, you know, some of the things they've witnessed inside the medical system that will make your toes curl a little bit as well. You know, we've got the war on cancer, the war... and cancer just goes up. I think that's, you know, we've got the war on coronavirus right now. I think that's the main reason it's spiking, and there's so much hysteria. They're actually creating it. It's a very, very strange time. You want to reach me, this show, too, if you are interested in the Gary Webb stuff. If you missed what we talked about, I played some clips from Gary Webb and the CIA program during the 1980s. Cocaine flooding into the United States. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I can send you a couple of the clips that I played, or you can get the podcast as well. If you go to WYAB.com and scroll down, you'll find my show page, which just takes you to my Podbean link, which is themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. And you can get, I put the show out as a podcast each day, and it's also, you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. And apparently it's on the TuneIn app. I don't even really know exactly where this thing is. Someone let me know that it's on the TuneIn app. I don't send it there, so I don't know how it really ended up there. But I think there's somewhere now around 700,000 podcasts floating around right now. I think particularly during the coronavirus, everybody had a bunch of free time and, you know, pulled their phones out and started a podcast. But I put it out there because I cover some kind of deep dive issues on this show, and if you catch a part of them and you find them at all interesting, then you can always go back and listen to it, or just, you know, like I say, contact me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I can send you any information that I might cover if you missed it and wanted to dive into it any deeper. We got another a vaccine hype story this morning. More encouraging news on a vaccine. You know, this is really getting to be insane. This was like the China deal was last year. Every time the market started to sag a little bit, we got a China deal right around the corner. Looks like we got a China deal. And we got something today from AstraZeneca. Again, I wonder how many of the insiders before this announcement came off said, you know what, we're going to tell you about an AstraZeneca encouraging trial today. That should send the stock market and AstraZeneca's stock up if anybody wants to jump into it. But we don't get those things. You know, I did do a little bit of math. I'll just finish them. Don't have enough time to really get into another topic here, but talking about people going in the streets, I was kind of curious in looking at, I saw some stories about savings rates in the United States. Let me tell you, I've talked a lot about the fact that this low interest rates, how they've suppressed interest rates and kept them at zero, has been so damaging to the American people, and nobody seems to pay attention to it. No one really understands it. Trump supporters have been cheering when Trump has asked for zero or negative interest rates because you want to see Trump succeed. And you say, well, Barack Obama got it, so it's not fair that Donald Trump doesn't have it. They're trying to sabotage him with these high interest rates, all that stuff. But it's interesting to me to see people do things against their own self-interest for a politician. And so I did a little bit of math. Let me show you how this works. Now, if you've been in the stock market, you've been doing quite well, and this may continue if the Federal Reserve just keeps printing up endless amounts of money. You can make a rocket ship out of the stock market for sure. The thing is, now the stock market has nothing to do with the economy, just nothing. You know, it used to be the stock market kind of went up and down. Companies would make more profits in prosperous times. That would make the stock market go up. At the same time, people were getting jobs and doing well. Now there's just almost no connection between the stock market and the actual economy. We've got around 32 million people right now between all forms of unemployment have lost their jobs. Yet the stock market just continues to churn higher, sometimes in dramatic jolts higher. Just completely ignoring the fact that the travel industry is dead in the water. Restaurant industry is just absolutely being crushed. Yet the stock market just soldiers on, and it's all because of the Federal Reserve. But here's how those low interest rates actually kind of boots on the ground actually affects people. So when you cheer for low or negative interest rates because Donald Trump says he wants them, I encourage you to rethink that position. I got some statistics. This is from several years ago, but They said the average savings, this is savings, not stock market investments, but the money parked in savings accounts for couples who have children between the ages of 45 and 54. And there's a whole bunch of these, but I'm just picking this one out because it's kind of, you know, your middle-aged people have finally got some savings in the bank. Between the ages of 45 to 54, couples with children averaged $15,589 in a savings account, liquid investments. So let's just use that statistic because we've got to use something. Here's what negative interest rates have done to the American, or low interest rates have done to the American people. If you had that $15,589 saved for 12 years while we've had basically zero interest rates, you have gotten about, during that 12 years, you've received $1,977.08 in interest. Okay, that's over 12 years, you've earned $1,977 in interest. Do you know what you would have gotten, what that family with children, ages 45 to 54, do you know what they would have received if the interest rates had been kind of normal at around, maybe around 5%? You know, you used to be able to get a 5% CD or, you know, savings accounts that might have somewhere around a 5%. The difference would have been they would have received $12,406.60 in interest instead of $1,900. You would have gotten $12,000 in interest instead of $1,900. Now, who benefits from that? Well, the banks. The banks have saved. The big corporations have saved that amount in interest. They get to load up on debt and pays almost zero interest on that money. But the American taxpayer, your middle-class people out there trying to save a little bit of money, have had about $10,000 stripped of them just on this one little example of savings. And nobody really seems to notice this at all. I wonder if seniors are secretly a little miffed they can't get any return on their savings, but it certainly has not shown anywhere in public policy. Anyway, that's all the time I've got today. Have a fantastic day. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.